It's a Friday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, we'll talk about David Fizdale getting hired by the Knicks and other coaching hires around the NBA.
Then we'll talk about if Goran Dragic could be headed back to the Phoenix and take more listener questions. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip-Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, a credentialed writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and allyoucanheat.com. I cover the league at large for FanSided. You can follow me in my writing on Twitter at DRamil13.
On today's show, we'll talk about the possibility of Goran Dragic being traded back to Phoenix and take some mailbag questions, but let's start with some coaching hires around the NBA. The Knicks hired former Heat assistant David Fizdale. The Suns have hired Jazz assistant Igor Kokoskov to be their new head coach. David, are these good hires?
Well, I have to say I congratulate you on your pronunciation of Kokoskov.
That was fluid
and I think perfectly executed. As far as I'm concerned, I think they're both great hires. I kind of dreaded the possibility of Phoenix hiring Jason Kidd, and I think you and our listeners are probably well aware of my feelings towards Kidd, but I don't think he's the right coach for any team personally, but also specifically not for the Suns. So an interesting move there to hire Kokoskov.
And I practiced in the mirror.
That was the key. I missed out on that. And I think he's a good guy to kind of help, kind of teach the young core that they have there. Like, they're still kind of lacking in identity, but I think they have a good set of young players between Devin Booker and Jackson. So they've got some nice pieces. They've got a draft pick, possibly Luka Doncic coming over from Europe. So that's obviously somebody who Kokoskov has some familiarity with, having coached the Slovenian team. So I think it's a good fit. As far as Fizdale is concerned, one of the things that you've talked about frequently is his ability to implement a Heat-like culture. And similarly with Phoenix, you know, New York has lacked an identity for 20 years, I guess, since the Van Gundy era. I mean, it really feels like it's been that long. So you feel like that's a good turn and for New York to kind of change things there, implement a culture, get the most out of their superstar talent and Kristaps Porzingis, help mentor some of the younger players there, and they've got a draft pick coming in this year as well. So there's a lot to work with, and I think Fizdale has a great opportunity. And the fact that he turned down the Phoenix job because it wasn't the right fit for him, I think that's a good understanding of what he does well. He doesn't want to be stuck in a rebuilding job, you know, trying to mentor people the same way Mike Budenholzer decided he wanted to part ways with Atlanta. Right. He wanted something that was a little bit closer to ready to get into playoff contention. And I think New York, while they might be a year or two away, they're certainly a lot closer along than Phoenix is. So it's good on him.
That's a really good point. And also New York.
Yeah, sure.
Which is nice for Fizdale. We'll talk about the Suns and what their strategy going forward might be and what the hiring of Kokoskov might mean for that. Right. But specifically to Fizdale, I think New York's a really good fit as long as the Knicks organization has patience with them. Because you're right, they're much closer than Phoenix, but they're still a little bit further away. I think 2 or 3 years away from really making a run at maybe the playoffs. And they've got a guy, Kristaps Porzingis, who is a superstar in the making, as long as he could stay healthy, as long as he could stay on the court. And Fizdale being able to, the potential for him to install a culture there that they desperately need. I just hope that Knicks organization from James Dolan down gives him the room and the space he needs to do that, because a guy like Phil Jackson couldn't even do that, right? And he is like a walking peyote culture machine. And I fear that he's not going to be afforded the opportunity. And it just seems like coaches are just on such a short leash when they get hired by the Knicks. That said, I don't know if Fizdale has the best taste in jobs. You know, like he got offered several head coaching positions when he was an assistant with the Heat. He goes to Memphis. That didn't work out at all. And now he's going to the Knicks, which is an unstable organization at best. I'm worried about it, but the best case scenario is it works out really well. It's a good hire by the Knicks. I hope that Fizdale, and I'm assuming he is comfortable with that organization. I like Fizdale. I think he's a really good coach, but it would really suck if after being basically shoved out of Memphis, it didn't work out in New York because two bad coaching decisions. I mean, that's like Ben Affleck taking bad movies in the 90s. You know, like it takes a long time to bounce back from that. You know,
are the New York Knicks this version of the NBA coaching carousel version of reindeer games?
Yeah, and what was the other one? Jiggly, whatever it was.
Yeah, Giggly.
Giggly.
Yeah. That's what the Knicks are. That was an all-time terrible movie. Not that I've seen it, but...
But you look at guys like Mike Brown, takes him, you know, a couple bad jobs. It takes him forever to get another gig. Alvin Gentry took him forever to get another job. I mean, and he's doing a good job.
He was on the hot seat this year, right? I mean, Gentry was. The fact that he's made the playoffs and were able to get past their first round opponent, or, you know, a better Portland Trailblazers team, I think kind of helped them out considerably.
100%. But he's done a good job. But like I'm saying, like, you know, for Fizdale's sake, I hope it works out in New York. And I think he's a good hire. Like, I want to go back to that Porzingis thing. Of course, you know, the caveat always being if he could stay healthy. Do you think Porzingis could play a Chris Bosh role for the Knicks?
Yeah, I don't see why not. You know, I think though, the point about his health is kind of paramount over anything because he really, at his size and how thin and frail he is, especially with injuries already kind of building up in his lower legs, I mean, that's kind of a death knell for a big man. Like at 7'3", I just don't know that he's ever going to be healthy again. So that's a problem. But I mean, okay, let's assume that for some reason, miraculously, he doesn't have to deal with injuries for the rest of his career. He's got the length. He can block shots, obviously. I think he's mobile enough so they can play the Chris Bosh role. I think the five is probably where he's better suited. You know, and that was a concern maybe a couple of years ago when the league hadn't started that trend towards a small ball. But I think, you know, he can body up with the centers of the league now. That's not no longer as much of a concern as it was a couple of years ago. You know, it's not like he has to face a Shaquille O'Neal on every night. So I think it's a good opportunity for him to showcase his skills. And, I mean, he's such a great offensive player, obviously. So hopefully he'll be healthy, and hopefully Fizdale will be able to get the most out of him. I mean, he's gonna face Miami a number of times a year. Look, I was a little selfishly hoping that he might be hired by the Orlando Magic because I thought it would be a great opportunity for him to come a little bit closer to South Florida. But you know, it's a great gig, and hopefully it turns around. I mean, look, and to your point though, if he does have a couple of bad coaching jobs here, I mean, that's just the nature of this. You know, there is that coaching carousel where you just get these names kind of stuck in loop and it's hard to kind of break in there. He got his opportunity and he can't feel too bad for him. I mean, he probably could have gotten an assistant coaching job if he wanted to, and he's still getting paid several million dollars by the Memphis Grizzlies, which didn't
work. Oh yeah. I mean, it's not woe is him, right? Like, he's fine. And I'm happy right. for him taking the Knicks job. I really hope it works out for him as far as that organization goes.
Yeah. That is tricky though. With Dolan, yeah. That is always the X factor. It's kind of
always
chaotic.
An X factor. I think if anybody was like, if you were to just, you know, go into a lab and try to make Chris Bosh 2.0, it would come out like Kristaps Porzingis. You know, I think it's a perfect fit there. I think some people are wondering, okay, are we just assuming that Fizdale is just going to go in and make Porzingis the Bosh at the five, or is he going to play Porzingis at the four? And that's a good question. But I look at what he did in Memphis, trying to force Marc Gasol into that Bosh role, which. Gasol's just he was a great player, and I think he was able to be effective basically in any sort of role that you put him in, but Porzingis is really, like, he fits the bill there, and I think that's going to be really important for them. And then, of course, they've got to develop their guards and things like that. Maybe Mario Chalmers goes to New York, who knows, but it's just something you got to put out there as an idea. What former Heat players is Fizdale going to
He's already got Michael
sign?
Beasley?
Yeah, is Beasley under contract there?
No, he's not. I don't think
he
is. But,
yeah,
but.
So, all right. Well, the Suns hired Dragic's former Slovenian team coach. Does that mean that the two could be reunited? I'll tell you why that won't happen after this quick break. The playoffs are here, and just like the Miami Heat, it's time to step up your game. If you run a company and you're unhappy with the results from traditional advertising online or in print, make a big time adjustment by advertising with us here on Locked On Heat. We've already got national brands advertising on the show, but it's also a great opportunity for South Florida businesses to connect with local Heat fans. You've heard about the studies already, how podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with advertisers, and how the number of people listening to podcasts continue to grow every year, heck, every month. Be ahead of the curve and start advertising on a podcast with us here at Locked On Heat. You have nothing to lose by reaching out, and our rates are reasonable, and they're based on the number of listens, so it's an efficient use of your time and your money. For more information on next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com. That's lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company right here on the show. Back with Locked On Heat, and you know we like to talk about fake trades on the show. I think that's kind of all we do anymore, David, now that the season's over. But we've got a few more of them that we want to dissect, including a complete teardown of the roster. But let's start with this question from our Patreon supporter, Marcus. Marcus writes in, "Let me start by saying I love Dragic.
Good.
And I want him to retire as a Heat. But, here's the but, can the Suns' new head coach lead to the Heat trading Goran and dumping Hassan or Tyler's contract for some expiring contracts in the Heat's pickback?" We remember that the Heat traded those first two first rounders for Goran Dragic. Neither of those draft picks have conveyed yet. Right. One will convey this summer, and the next one will convey in 2021. So, you know, I think a lot of people are making this connection. If Kokoskov is going to Phoenix and he wants to put his imprint on that team, does that imprint look like what he did with the Slovenian national team, the one that won the gold medal, with Dragic, with a guy like Luka Doncic, who they may or may not be in position to draft? If that's the case, look, I think that's a connection worth making, but I don't think it's an assumption worth making. You know what I mean, David? We don't know that that's the sort of, just because it worked to win, you know, the gold medal in the Euro Cup does not necessarily mean it's going to work in the NBA, and that's up to him to decide whether or not that's the case.
Well, I think, you know, you have to have some players there that are kind of in your corner. I think Kokoskov is somewhat of an unknown factor. I don't know that he necessarily has the tenure with the NBA to kind of make him a well-known, established name. I think he's still fairly young as far as his impact league-wide. Now, he's gotten the support of a number of Jazz players, obviously, Ricky Rubio, among others, you know, thinking that he's a really great coach, somebody who really takes the time to mentor you and stuff like that. But it's always good to have somebody who's capable of understanding your vision and helping you to implement that vision. So I don't know that it's that much of a stretch as far as whether or not he'd want to acquire a guy.
That's the best argument for it that you just made, is like not even necessarily what's on the court, but like in that locker room, just because you see what happened to a guy who made his name in Europe, like David Blatt, and he goes to Cleveland and basically has nobody in his corner, right?
Right.
And you see what happened with him. He hasn't been able to get back to a job after leading his team to a finals appearance. So you're right. That is the best argument for it. And I'm not saying it's a stretch. I just don't want to say it's an assumption. You know, I would bet Phoenix makes a call to Pat Riley.
I agree with that. Now, I talked to somebody who's a Suns writer, and he made it seem like it was not going to happen. In fact, in his opinion, and this might be just a personal opinion, he thinks that Doncic, if he's still in play as a draft pick, and again, that is not a foregone conclusion. They could draft DeAndre Ayton, who's from Arizona. So there's,
or they can get screwed in the lottery. I mean, who knows?
Sure, right. They could fall out of the top five completely. You know, so but he sees Doncic as the point guard of the future in Phoenix. Somebody who can play alongside Devin Booker, with Josh Jackson kind of filling that three role. And so he doesn't see Dragic having a role in that team unless he was willing to come off the bench. That, to me, that seems like a stretch. Like, I mean, I think Dragic is still a starter very clearly, and I think he's a better option at the point guard position than Doncic is. So, I mean, I think Doncic as a playmaking three is a pretty good option, but I thought that's where he projected as, right?
I look at him as a point forward. Like, right. I mean, People are sort of forcing him into that Ben Simmons type role in scouting. I think we're just too early on that. And if you're, but still, even if that's the case, right? I mean, Dragic is more than comfortable playing off the ball. You could play Dragic, Booker, and Doncic on the floor. I mean, we've seen Justice Winslow bring the ball up all the time for the Heat. So I think even from a basketball fit, it makes sense. I think that you made the best point where it's you want him in that locker room, and. Right. And so the question is, does Dragic even want to be back in Phoenix? They would have to figure out a way to test those waters, because if he doesn't want to be there, I don't care how close he is to the coach. If he doesn't want to be there, he doesn't want to be there, and he's not going to be a great locker room presence in the first place. Well, so that's the number one question. But I do, I think having the coach there, he's got a really tight relationship with Kokoskov, so I think that would help. But
On the Zach Lowe podcast a few months ago, he talked about Kokoskov, and you know, there were stories there. And one of the things that Lowe mentioned was Kokoskov had said that there's no better player to have on the floor than a guy like Goran Dragic, that he was so just enamored with his work ethic and everything else. The things that we've seen here in Miami. So to me, the thing I'm thinking about in this, and when I was kind of going over this in my head, like Goran Dragic re-signed in Miami for a lot of money, without a doubt. He's going to get that money whether he's here in Miami or with the Suns. But he also came to Miami in 2015 thinking he was going to be the third best player on the team behind Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and obviously that did not work out. Not only that, but that he was going to be competing for a title. So now seeing the upwards trajectory of teams like the 76ers and the Boston Celtics, the going out of the Eastern Conference isn't going to be that easy. It's not like the Heat have a realistic chance at a title anytime soon, barring any kind of major upheaval this summer. And with you know, Pat Riley basically saying that everybody on this roster was touchable as far as a potential trade is concerned, to me, I see Goran Dragic just saying, you know what, this is a place where we're comfortable. They probably, him, his wife, probably have a circle of friends that they stay in contact with in Phoenix. I could imagine that working out very well for Phoenix from a quality of life point of view, and that he would want to go back to a familiar setting. And to a place where him and his family might be comfortable. So I could totally see this move happening.
So let's talk about how that would look like, because that's really what Marcus is talking about here.
Go ahead. Sorry. I want to say that we were talking about this Dragic Booker Doncic possibility, and the person I talked to was like, well, what about Josh Jackson? Like, they see him obviously as a starter, not quite a power forward type at this point in his career. So, you know, you have to figure out a way to implement that young core. Now, the flip side of that is you acquire Dragic, who is going to be the person who implements your vision, and then you draft Ayton anyway, and all of a sudden you have a center, so you don't really have to worry about whether Doncic is a superfluous, you know, player on
that roster. I'm not too concerned. Like, they're not going to be good. Like, you just play five guys and you figure it out later. Like, you start moving. It's fine. It's like what Philadelphia did. They just drafted the most guys. And a bunch of them worked out, and some of them didn't. I'm not concerned about that. The only thing I would be concerned about is Booker. If Kokoskov wants to come in, and it depends on what he looks at as Booker, does he see Booker as a future point guard, or does he see him as a guy who needs to play off the ball? Dragic coming in, is he able to play Booker more off the ball than Booker played last season, and in turn you make him more of an efficient scorer? I think you need to consider that. So that said, even if I do think Phoenix would like to have Dragic. I don't know if the Heat want to trade Dragic. You're right. Riley said everybody's touchable. I don't think that this is the deal that happens. I don't think that Pat Riley, after trading two first-round picks for Goran Dragic, before any of those picks convey, would trade Goran back to Phoenix, even to get maybe one of those picks back.
Yeah.
And I don't think that and an expiring contract. I don't see that happening. First of all, I don't even know if that dumping Hassan or Tyler on Phoenix makes sense. I don't think Phoenix would do that just to get Goran Dragic back. Not those contracts. I don't think Riley trades Goran unless he gets an upgrade at point guard. I just don't. And there's no upgrade here. There's no upgrade involved here. I don't think he just trades Goran. We heard him talk about draft picks. He doesn't care about them. He's not going to trade Goran to Phoenix for expiring contracts and one of the picks back that he was already prepared to part with for Goran Dragic. I don't see it. And he said in the press conference, I would prefer Goran Dragic over those two picks. So he's not going to trade Goran for those two picks back. He's not. There needs to be an upgrade, which means there needs a third. We need to get a third team involved. And you know, I already have an idea, David, right?
Oh, well, let's go ahead. Bring it on me.
Goran Dragic to Phoenix. Phoenix, instead of taking one of those Whiteside or Tyler deals, takes maybe a Nick Batum off of Charlotte's hands.
Uh-oh.
Kemba Walker goes to Miami. Now, that's the basis. You're going to have to move a lot of different parts around. And Miami might have to take a Cody Zeller or a MKG or a bad contract like that back. But
Batum's a pretty bad contract, right?
Batum's a very bad contract. But if there's a team that's willing to take it, it would be Phoenix, right?
Oh, a European player?
Yeah. And whatever, like, Phoenix isn't going to be good. They can take the cap space. So what I have here is I have a fourth team involved. the Dallas Mavericks. So Whiteside goes to Dallas. Dallas sends Wesley Matthews' expiring contract back to Miami. We're square there. Miami takes Kemba Walker and Cody Zeller off of Charlotte.
Okay.
Phoenix takes Batum's $22 million deal and Goran Dragic, so they get their point guard. And a stretch four type guy who can play in that European system with Batum. I think he'd be a good fit there. And then Charlotte ends up just taking Tyson Chandler's expiring, Jared Dudley's expiring, and Brandon Knight's not expiring, but two more years left, and he's, you know, you play him, whatever. It works for cap purposes. And then they get a draft pick back from Phoenix, probably one of those Heat picks.
Hmm.
So Miami ends up upgrading at Kemba Walker and ridding themselves of Hassan Whiteside. They save some cap space, and they're able to re-sign Wayne Ellington with that space. That's my fake trade.
There's a lot of balls to juggle up in the air there.
Well, let me ask you, do you agree with that point, the general point that Riley will not trade Dragic unless he upgrades that point guard position?
That sounds like it's a solid assumption. I think based on his past, based on everything else, I can't recall off the top of my head. I'm pretty sure the answer is no. Has Riley ever swung a deal to take a pick back? I
don't see him doing it. He doesn't care about him enough. It doesn't make sense. Anyway,
right. We've got a bunch of... He doesn't want to trust a 20-year-old, so I mean, he'd rather
exactly.
have established...
And they don't have, a point. I still don't think he sees Justice Winslow as a starting point guard. I just don't see... I don't think he sees him as that, and I don't think they're ready to rebuild. But that said, we've got some trade ideas about how they could rebuild, courtesy of a loyal listener, because we've got nothing better to do around here, so we'll get to that when we come back after this break. Before we move on with the show, we want to take a quick break and tell you about our Patreon page. You can find it by going to patreon.com/lockedonheat. And we are humbly asking for people to commit to a monthly pledge to help us continue to improve the quality of the show. Thanks to you who have already supported the podcast, we have quickly reached our initial funding goal that allowed us to purchase software that improved the quality of the podcast. But we aren't just stopping there. We've added a new tier of supporters. For $5 a month, you'll get access to a bunch of goodies, including salary cap and depth chart projections, free agency player rankings by position, a running list of our favorite trade ideas, and whatever else we can think of. Just go to patreon.com/lockedonheat to get started. Again, that's patreon.com/lockedonheat. That's patreon.com/lockedonheat. Back with Locked On Heat, let's check this thread courtesy of loyal listener Taylor Roostermunk on how he proposes the Heat rebuild. Okay, so David, I'm just going to read it to you. I'm just going to, it's a complete teardown.
Yeah.
He tweeted this to us in a thread. So here it goes. Youth movement without tanking and creating summer of 2019 cap space. That's the title of this thread from Taylor again, at Rooster7XC on Twitter. So Kokoskov being hired by the Suns' new head coach. Interesting because he's Goran Dragic's Euro basket coach. If the Suns could draft Luka Doncic, Dragic makes a ton of sense there. Here's my proposal. Trade Dragic to the Suns for Josh Jackson and the Heat's 2018 pick back, which is at 16 this year. It creates cap space for the Heat while getting younger, and the Suns get an all-star to try to take it to the next level. Heat then move Whiteside to Washington for Marcin Gortat and Kelly Oubre, which I would be very happy about. Yes. Gortat is a useful traditional big that we could use situationally on an expiring deal. These two moves alone give Heat enough cap space to add Ellington and also Wade and UD should they decide to come back for another year. Next, you trade Tyler Johnson and a future second-round pick to the Nets for the expiring contract of Damari Carroll. I want to talk about that. And then you have a roster in which you start Winslow at point guard, but he defends fours, so Ben Simmons light. You start Waiters, Jay Rich, Olynyk, and Bam, and the last spot for either or Olynyk or Bam, and then the last spot for either Josh Jackson, Oubre, Carroll, or James Johnson. And then you have Ellington, Magruder, Gortat, Wade, UD coming off the bench, and then whoever they draft it in the draft as well. So that's the outline there. So I guess we already talked about Dragic to the Suns. I don't think that the Suns would move Josh Jackson for Goran Dragic.
Definitely not.
Okay, so let's just ignore that. Maybe another deal works out. Whiteside to Washington for Gortat and Kelly Oubre. They'd have to throw in a Jason Smith contract or something like that to make it work, but yes. That would be sort of the... based on John Wall's comments, I don't think that's out of the question.
I don't I don't know that they'd want to keep John Wall. Like, I mean, I know Gortat is not a great player at this point. Kelly Oubre is a little too inconsistent, unfortunately. So, I mean, I'm sure they'd be willing to move him. I don't know that they wouldn't be more willing to try and move John Wall and see what they can get back for a player like
that. No, that's a good point. But that contract is ginormous, and it kicks in next year. Scary. And I just it's a scary contract. I think that they would honestly have an easier time. I mean, that contract is huge. They would have an easier time moving Bradley Beal at this point, or, you know,
But Beal, I think, proved himself to be
100%. I just if you're gonna try to rebuild the roster, I don't know if trading Wall is the way to do it. I think I don't know that you're gonna be able to get enough value out of him, just again because that contract is scary. Like, you might get the most value out of Bradley Beal if you move Beal and make Otto Porter your second scoring option, if they view him as that. That might be the only way to rebuild. That said, Whiteside to Washington makes sense to me. Maybe it's the deal that Taylor laid out. Maybe it's something, you know, a little bit different. But I think that Washington makes sense for Whiteside and even, you know, Deion Waiters.
Did you see this other? He tweeted something earlier today that was along the same lines. Where here's the basis for it: Hassan Whiteside to the Wizards, Goran Dragic and Kelly Oubre Jr. to the Spurs. And then the Heat get Kawhi Leonard, Marcin Gortat, and Jason Smith's expiring contract.
No, that doesn't work. Spurs don't do that.
Yeah, I don't.
They get one young player in Kelly Oubre. That's no way. Yeah. All right, let's look at this Tyler Johnson in a future second to the Nets for expiring Damari Carroll. There's no way the Nets do that. And I've seen this trade pop up a lot on Heat Twitter. I don't know who's putting that out there like a possibility, but it's not.
DeMar Carroll is an option?
There's no way. I mean, the Nets almost traded DeMar Carroll at the deadline for a first-round pick after they got a first-round pick just to take him off of Toronto's hands. And look, I know that we're making the Tyler Johnson to Brooklyn connection, but I don't think, like, Brooklyn's not stupid. They saw that Tyler Johnson has basically plateaued since he signed the contract. Like, they've loaded up at guard. They've got Alan Crabb. They've got Jeremy Lin there. They've got Spencer Dinwiddie, who's under contract for another year. They've got what's-his-face from the Lakers. I'm blanking on it. The first pick in the draft. What's his name? Why can't I remember his name?
D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell. Thank you. They've got a bunch of guards there.
Hey, don't blame yourself. I mean, he's not really memorable at this point.
They've got Caris LeVert, who is like kind of a 2-3. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got a bunch of guards there. I don't think that they're interested in Tyler Johnson, and they certainly wouldn't be interested in Tyler Johnson and a second round and some distant second round pick for Damari Carroll. I just don't see that happening. So I don't see it happening. So I don't mean to tear Taylor's completely rebuild completely apart here, but I think the Washington connection is the one that makes sense there. The Phoenix connection for Dragic, as we talked about, makes sense. And I think that's what you would have to look at for a rebuild. And I know we're assuming that Riley's going to want to rebuild, which we're also assuming is not going to happen. But it's fun to just imagine, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, any other last thoughts on this?
I just want to put this out there for our listeners. Like, we absolutely appreciate suggestions and things like this. But, you know, you also have to keep in mind, and I know this is very difficult, even from our perspective, like, we tend to overvalue whatever players there are on the team that you follow, just as other fans do that. So you can't expect like the possibility of trading for Josh Jackson. He's a lottery pick. He was a lottery pick for the Suns last year. They're not going to move him for anything short unless it's again to acquire a superstar, somebody that Goran Dragic is not at this point in his career. So we can't just, you know, propose all these kinds of trades to acquire said superstar for basically, you know, garbage roster contracts that we have signed. You know, it's not, nobody's going to take Tyler Johnson for Kawhi Leonard straight up. You know, it's not going to happen. So we just have to think about these things with a little bit of perspective. And I know that's difficult to do because we want this team to improve. And you know, there's a curiosity regarding whether or not, you know, they'll take another step in their evolution. And I don't know that it's possible. You know, I was talking about it earlier today, and, you know, maybe this team, you know, this goes a little further than maybe we'd like to go to, but, you know, you get Deion Waiters back healthy, you get Hassan Whiteside healthy, and maybe, just maybe, this team takes another leap forward, like another 5-6 wins in the regular season, and possibly makes some room and some damage in the playoffs? Is that even a possibility at this point?
Absolutely. I mean, okay. You get Waiters back, you get improvement from Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow. You saw the guys who took lesser of a role in the playoffs, and I think if we learned anything from the playoffs, it's that Tyler Johnson and Hassan Whiteside are going to take a lesser role if this team is, you know, it is the way it is for next season. I think that's absolutely a possibility. Like, this team would be better with Waiters. Like, in a weird way. Like, they
yeah, no, I mean, so, you look at teams like Boston with Terry Rozier and Utah with Donovan Mitchell, and obviously, as we've talked about, the center position for both those teams exceeding the play of Whiteside, but you also need somebody who's a willing gunner to take those shots because, mm-hmm. you know, look, one of the things I always talked about with Waiters is that, yeah, he was taking a lot of shots and maybe he wasn't finishing those at the rim, but guess what huge stiff body was out there to kind of collect those and put back for an easy 2 points? That's, you know, that was Whiteside. Yeah. Like, how many points did Whiteside get last season off of Deion's misses at the rim?
A ton. That's a good point. Yeah. Look, I'm with you. I'm with you. All right. But that's all we have for today. We'll be back next week. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Help share the show by telling your friends and retweeting our links. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.